Greetings. This is Steve Schlissel. I am the pastor of Messiah's Congregation in Brooklyn, New York, and I have the privilege of speaking with R.J. Rushdoony, the founder and president of the Chalcedon Foundation in Vallecito, California. That's Vallecito with a V. We have been speaking, Rush, for some time on this show, The Voice of Chalcedon, about some of the primary doctrines on the beginning side of the equation, that is to say, the doctrine of creation. We talked about the implications of the doctrine of creation. And as you have pointed out on numerous occasions, there is no neutrality. You're either going to be a creationist or you're going to be some sort of evolutionist. Now, I want to begin a discussion today about the other side of the border, as it were, not the beginnings, but the ends of things. Broadly, of course, in theology, this is called eschatology. But I'm particularly interested in this show to talk about the doctrine of hell. You noted some years ago that when hell drops out of religion, justice drops out of politics. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, we are predisposed in our age to disregard failure, to regard it as somehow unfair. As a result, in schools, failure was replaced with social passing, and children were advanced without any real awareness of what the business of education was about. The result was that people graduated from high school and could not read their diplomas.
Yes.
Well, that whole impulse in education, as well as in the work area, has religious roots.
How so?
Well, in religion, everybody wants to go to heaven, no matter what they do.
Oh, yes.
And they transfer this to other areas. They do not believe it is fair of God or man to fail anybody.
You know that there actually is, in New York City, a system, what they call social promotions.
Yes.
Self-consciously.
Yes.
The children have failed their academics, but they promote them after a year or two just to get them on.
That's right, and so it has rightly been said there and elsewhere that they can graduate without being able to read their diploma. Now, we have gotten so we prefer the world that way. And as a result, justice has left politics and hell has dropped out of religion. The result is that today religion is without a future, just as education no longer depends on character or ability at the time of reckoning, at the time of passage from one grade to another. In fact, a few years ago, they found that there were football players incapable of reading. Now, they're much more conscious about teaching football players now than others because of the bad publicity.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole of our educational process has become a farce. What was mandatory at the time that I entered the university, and at 83 going on 84, that's a while back, no longer is mandatory. And the standards have depreciated greatly to
The detriment of the culture.
Yes, very much to the detriment of the students.
Well, I think that you draw a most intriguing and fascinating connection here. If I understand this correctly, what you're saying is that once we eliminate the prospect of judgment in any terms, and most specifically eliminate God as the judge at the end of history,
yes,
then all we're reflecting our hatred of all judgment, and so we seek to eliminate judgment from society. Perhaps those lesser judgments are a reminder that we're going to give an account at the last day.
Exactly. We have eliminated judgment in society. We have eliminated it in the prison system and capital punishment is rarely applied today, and when it is, rarely enforced. I know that here in California we have people who have been 20 years awaiting capital punishment, and eventually it is likely the courts will turn them loose.
Well, that, of course, is inhumane on several fronts, isn't it?
Yes, it is a great injustice to society at large.
It's a great injustice to society, to the victim's family, and
yes,
to the murderer, not treating him like a man who's responsible for his actions.
That's right. There's an increasing outrage here on the part of families. The families of victims now have organizations, and they insist on the enforcement of capital punishment. So their vocal statements in the area are making it more and more difficult to let these criminals go on and on in the appeal system. Sometime after 10, 15, 20 years, the day of punishment comes.
This idea is pretty vast in its implications. Just as we said that creation is huge in the way it works out in societies, it seems to me that based on your writing, similarly, the biblical idea of a judgment to come is absolutely essential for a well-ordered society.
Yes. The doctrine of hell simply is the doctrine of justice, ultimate justice. In other words, you cannot escape ultimate justice at the hands of God. And it is important to realize that these groups of victim families and their friends are calling attention to a very important religious fact. For example, the Ung murder case here in California, where a man, after about 20 years, finally was brought to trial, convicted, and now is sentenced to death. But after 20 years, with another 20 years of appeals, he's going to be a very old man if the punishment is ever carried out.
Not to mention carried on subsidies of taxpayers.
Oh, yes, because it costs more to keep a man in prison than it does to keep him at his home on welfare.
Yes. This notion of the escape from a final account, then, if we can do away with giving an account to God, then we can flatter ourselves that we can do away with giving an account in every area of life, whether it's, as you said, school performance or, in many cases, job performance. Of course, Rush, the greater the state is at emptying the pockets of its citizens and thus becoming the primary employer, the more we'll see this, because corporations that need to turn a profit can only afford to go so far into keeping slacks on.
Yes.
But in the federal system, it's as much as they can take from the people that will keep it going.
Well, it has increased the cost of living to have to support a vast army of people who are unpunished, unfired, who are allowed to continue in the system simply because we feel we cannot be so nasty as to punish anyone or fire them.
Well, this all then ties into the doctrine of a final reckoning. Just as we begin the Bible with "in the beginning God," so also when we end the Bible, we see that just as we came from somewhere, we're headed somewhere. We're headed toward a judgment.
Yes.
And men don't like that very much. Guilty men don't, anyway.
That's right. And outside of Christ, men are guilty. Outside of Christ, men will resent the doctrine of justice, of which hell is a part.
But they won't do away with... Let me put it a different way. Instead of justice, we get something closer to theater, don't we?
Yes. Very well put. And the whole of our life has become theater. We go through the facade of a trial, knowing full well that here is a man who is 55 or 60. He's not likely ever to die as the penalty requires, because the appeal system will keep him alive until death. And we have prisons full of people who are on appeal against their death penalty. They are supported at great expense, and the result is they have an idea of justice now, and all the people who support them, which says you don't pay for what you have done.
Yes.
And you have the right to appeal against the sentence indefinitely. Now, the victim of a murder case does not get 20 years of time after the man decides to murder him, but the murderer 20 years later can still be sitting in prison at our support at more than it costs the average man to live.
Yes. And it seems that tell me if I'm in the right direction here. Because we don't like the idea of judgment as sinners, and we want to remove all intermediate reminders, we make the justice system into a script rather than into a search for truth and justice.
Yes. The whole justice system has been warped because we have come to believe that because man is fallible, then there can be no justice.
Because man is fallible, therefore, they say, there can be no justice.
Yes. Now, it is true man is fallible. It is true that people have gone to prison unjustly. However, these instances are rare and few. And with the appellate system, they usually are caught. Our system is quite effective and catching cases of the maladministration of justice.
Didn't God require for that very reason that there be two reliable sources of testimony?
That's right.
Or even three?
That's right. And that is pretty much a part of American law, the biblical requirement. But we have decided that we are going to be more careful than God, holier than God. And so we have destroyed the justice system. We have created a vast network of prisons from coast to coast, which are ruled by the homosexuals within them, which are places of flagrant injustice, where the prison guards are afraid of the convicts and pretty much are ruled by the criminal element in the prison.
Seems like we pay quite a large price societally to eliminate God from the chessboard, so to speak. Man thinks that he'll find freedom without God, but he finds bondage. This is Steve Schlissel speaking with R.J. Rushdoony today on The Voice of Chalcedon, speaking about the doctrine of hell and its practical implications for a society, a civilization. Rush has been telling us that without hell, without the biblical truth of an account being given to God at the end of time, we eliminate God as judge, and then therefore we want no other judgments in our lives. If he, after all, has no right to judge us, what can man do to us? If you'd like to know more about this sort of thinking, that is to say, how the Bible applies to real life, then you should get a sample copy of the Chalcedon Report. You can get one by sending $2 to Chalcedon, that's C-H-A-L-C-E-D-O-N, right to Box 158 in Vallecito, California, V like Victor, A-L-L-E-C-I-T-O, 95251. If you'd like to speak to them, perhaps get a list of the books that are available, just call 209-736-4365. Rush, this doctrine is one that people don't often think about, even Christians now, when they think about hell, they're really sometimes deciding whether they believe in a literal fire or not a literal fire, and that's the extent that they give the thought of the doctrine, but it's huge in its implications for us.
Yes, and we have lost the doctrine of justice because we have downplayed hell. We rarely ever hear any preaching about it, whereas once it was commonplace. We tell ourselves that God is only love, and therefore we are going to be an exception no matter what we do. And the idea that God can be nasty towards us, and some people really get quite emotional. And yet, to look at their lives, they certainly have deserved hell a couple of times over.
Well, maybe, but even in the case of God's assigning someone the just deserts of their behavior and their sinful nature, even then, you have said that, in a sense, God is assigning them the portion that they've elected for themselves, that they've chosen.
That's right.
They want to be their own determiner of right and wrong. They want to be isolated human beings, separated from God. And so God gives it to them.
Exactly. I've heard more than one man say he wants no part of heaven because he doesn't like a company he'd have to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And he's being honest in so saying.
But he thinks that he'll have his friends, as it were, in hell.
Yes.
But hell is total isolation.
Yes.
It's a complete breakdown.
There is no community in hell.
No community. And there's no fellowship. So the people who deceive themselves into thinking that hell is the place where you party hardy are going to be in for a rude awakening.
Yes.
The figures, after all, the images given in Scripture, in order to communicate the horrors of this eternal judgment, include being devoured by worms, as you say, worms of conscience, and eternal fire, where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched, illustrated as a rubbish heap, as a complete separation from any comforting grace from God, no support from him except to be maintained in your ontology while you are suffering.
Yes.
It's an unbearable thought, and yet people don't want to hear that or the way out of it.
Exactly.
As Milton said, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven.
Yes. That was Milton's summary of Satan's position.
So how do men then do away with the doctrine of God in their thinking? There are a couple of ways they can get out of it. I suppose one way is to invoke some sort of universalism.
Yes, they do that regularly. Another way is to deny that justice requires hell. They alter their entire doctrine of good and evil, of right and wrong. A justice system disappears totally from their thinking.
Now, this is very interesting because they try to do away with hell in eternity.
Yes.
Administered by God as the judge. And the consequence seems to be they bring hell to earth.
Exactly. We are living increasingly in hell on earth. All I have to do is listen to people of my age as they talk about what it was like some years ago when you didn't lock the doors of your house, when you felt secure wherever you went in your community or your state. And that's gone now.
It certainly is. Do you think even internationally, now we perhaps in this century, Rush, it's always amusing to hear people speak against Christianity, talking about how bloody the Crusades were, for example, and how horrible religious persecution was when we lived in an age of faith. Now, there's no denying that there were abuses and horrible ones, but nothing to compare with the godless murder that's taken place in this century.
Yes.
So as soon as hell dropped down,
things like the Crusades.
Yes.
The many pilgrims who were going to the holy places were routinely being robbed, murdered, and the women folk raped. So it had reached the point where the Christian countries felt they had to do something to defend their people in Palestine and elsewhere. Now, not that what they did was always right, but there was a reason for the Crusades.
Compared to the modern warfare, which is quite different, communist murdering of millions of people in the former Soviet Union, Cambodian slaughters, Vietnamese slaughters, and the list goes on until we add up into the scores of millions of people murdered in this century.
Yes.
But because it wasn't under the banner of a Christian flag, people seem not to be taught this in the government schools today.
That's right. We are told by historians that the 20th century has been the bloodiest century in all of history.
In all of history.
With a higher percentage of people dying as a result of wars, persecutions, slave labor camps, mass murders, and the like. No other century has compared with it in its horrors.
Surely this has to be related to the dropping of the doctrine of hell from the pulpits, because that's a relatively...
Yes.
It corresponds roughly chronologically.
Yes, there's been a very distinct relationship between the departure from Christianity and the growing, turning the world into hell on earth.
Mm-hmm. So when men seek to get away from God, the Creator, if they get away from Him at the beginning of things by making up a doctrine of evolution, then, of course, their grid doesn't permit any contrary evidence. Then they find themselves looking to the future, and they don't want God at that end either.
No.
So they're just left to themselves, and their devices result in hell on earth.
Yes. They deny justice on earth when they deny God's order with its heaven and hell.
So this, friends, is what it comes to if we depart from the Word of God. As we find that the categories, or the way God created the world, these things provide inescapable categories. You cannot get away from a doctrine of origins. It's going to be the correct biblical one, or it's going to be a false one. You cannot get away from the doctrine of hell. You're either going to have it as the terminus, where we're going to give an account to God, and consequently judgments in this life become meaningful, or you're going to do away with that and do away with justice here on earth, resulting in a hell for all of us. And you're not going to get away from the judgment anyway.
No.
Well, we have been speaking with R.J. Rushdooney, who's the founder and president of the Chalcedon Foundation in Vallecito, California. I urge you to give them a call at 209-736-4365. We'll be speaking, Lord willing, again with R.J. Rushdooney from the Voice of Chalcedon. May the Lord be with you and give you every grace. Amen.